Welcome to Building Worthiness. My name is Mary, or officially Dr. Mary Patricia Quinlivan, and this podcast is all about really letting you know how lovable you are, how worthy you are. It does share my very early awakening journey, and it has, of course, grown and expanded and deepened since then. But it's very valuable learning on how we build worthiness. And of course, with lots of sidetracks and mistakes and messing it up and getting it wrong, but ultimately discovering that we are entirely lovable, entirely worthy, that in essence, we are consciousness or divine love. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about just how much help is available sometimes from places that we may not have expected. I am also going to cover just being honest with ourselves and being aware of our ability to project. And just a little more about judgment too, because it's so important in terms of building worthiness, or non-judgment is so important in terms of building worthiness. And I may talk a bit about service as well while I'm there. Actually, there could be any number of topics that could come up in this session. We'll wait and see. So I'm going to use an example from my life, and it was in December, on December the 21st, 2020, there was a celestial event, and I do not know much about astronomy or its impact on us at all, but this was the grand conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, and it was also occurring on the summer solstice, December 21st. And I'd heard that this was a bringing in of the age of Aquarius, and that there was the possibility for greater awareness on Earth and just a degree of lifting of some of the fear and limitation. And I'd heard that there was a conference at Uluru, and there was going to be some First Nations elders holding ceremony. And it was about opening into the heart of Uluru, which at a deeper level is talking about what I've talked about before, which is there is this divine essence, this pure consciousness at the heart of everything. And so it was an opening into that. And I'd only found out about the conference about 2 weeks before it was due to start. And it was very close to Christmas, and my hubby and I were going to be taking his parents down south on the day after Christmas, and they're elderly and needed to be cared for. And COVID was just starting, and it was starting to be everywhere, and there were multiple state border shutdowns at the time. And I kept getting the feeling that I was meant to go. And of course, my hubby wasn't keen given all of that. And he was worried about his, understandably, about his parents and COVID and what was going to happen. And it was also a financially tricky moment. But I really did keep getting the feeling that I was meant to be there, which was unusual because it wasn't a conference I'd been to before. I didn't know anyone going. But something about being Uluru and the Grand Conjunction, and I just kept getting the feeling that I was meant to go. And I walked to the lake, and I told you earlier that, you know, sometimes I'd seen signs that really weren't real, and that was very much the case. And sometimes I'd seen turtles and they were just sticking their head up to breathe and I'd misinterpreted it. But this time I sat down under a tree and I really was having the feeling I was meant to go, although there was a lot of doubt. And just like it happened when I went to Uluru before, a turtle swam right in, stuck its head out and looked at me, and then it swam away and then it swam back again. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe I really am meant to go. But it wasn't so much the sign, it was just this continuous feeling, you know, for some reason I'm meant to be there. So I went, and it was really tricky, multiple flight changes and border shutdowns and having to apply in each state for that special pass to get in because of COVID restrictions. And it was an overnight flight that I took, and I hardly got any sleep, and I arrived and it was 40 degrees and I was sleeping in a tiny little one-man tent that you couldn't sit up in. So it was pretty challenging actually that first day. But often I find that when you're a bit tired, it does create an opening for spirit to start to flow. But there was something beautiful, which was even in those couple of weeks leading up to it, I'd been starting to feel the presence of Uluru, and there'd actually been a beautiful flip internally for me that had come about through Uluru being in my meditations, or the presence of Uluru being in my meditations. And when I first started awakening into that space of love, it felt like that love was a very powerful space, almost a bit overwhelming, and it started to get easier. But when I was doing that focus on Uluru, what flipped was there was a real understanding of how gentle, just how absolutely, sublimely gentle this pure consciousness or awareness is, that it could never judge us. It's not that high and mighty sort of powerful thing that I learned in the Catholic Church. I mean, it is powerful because it's the only thing that's true, but there's no judgment, no harshness. It's just continuous, sublime gentleness, really, and very ordinary. So that had started to soften some of my resistance, because resistance tends to come from that fear of not being worthy, of being judged by this essence we feel as God, when I was recognizing the opposite, that it was so sublimely gentle, more gentle really than my ego could fathom. And while I was there, I kept getting the feeling that I was there to really connect to the earth, connect to this essence that was Uluru, and to just hold that space. And the conference was, you know, big, and there was a lot of people there, and I very much wanted to stay relatively quiet. I didn't have too many conversations with people at all. I just kept wanting to work on this deepening presence and feeling this gentleness that was Uluru, and connecting to the earth and sort of holding that space for people at the conference. And with the benefit of hindsight, I now realize that that is why I was there. That was part of the service that I was there for. And I'll just briefly mention service, and I know I have before, and it's very much about that doing service that feels wholesome does build worthiness. It's a giving from that love that is within us, within all of us, and a sharing that from a place of abundance, if you like, and it helps us to realize our own abundance. But it's definitely not about sacrifice. And I want to mention this because, you know, I grew up in a situation where I developed the feeling that I had to rescue and fix people. And I really drained myself in my early life, thinking I had to look after too many things and do too much for others. And so it's really not about that. When we're in a place of feeling drained or tired or needing nurturing, that is our priority. That is what we need to do mainly. My sense now is that wholesome service actually brings more to the person giving it, or at least equal amounts to the person giving it, than it does to those that we're doing service for. It's almost like an overflow of the love that is within, and it's affirming for the giver, if you like, that there's really no such thing as giving and receiving, because it's all one essence. But it's affirming to the giver abundance and what's available. And this conference turned out to be that for me. It was such a blessing. Even the fact that I knew I wanted to practice presence, and I had been getting better at really holding space and resting in that space of love. But of course, I still needed practice. I still need practice today. It's always worth working on. So just practicing that was really good for me. But also, I've mentioned before that when I've been in a slightly resistant state or feeling unworthy myself, if I hold others as the divine love that they truly are, entirely worthy, entirely innocent, that actually helps to bring me to that space. And I've mentioned before about in my meditations in the morning, I often hold world leaders as that. And you might think that's altruistic, but really it's not. I mean, it is good for the world, of course, but the truth is that it's actually helping to bring me home, because the more I see others as entirely worthy, the more I'm going to see myself that way. This is one joined mind. And I do want to talk about an aspect of that conference, and that is that I have noticed in spiritual circles, but also, well, in circles of everyday, ordinary humans, that there can be a tendency to want to focus on love and light and all the sweet things and not be real or down to earth or practical and honest about, you know, our fear, our vulnerability, our pain, our sadness, our unworthiness. I've never experienced that at conferences with Isaira or any other deeply enlightened being. I went to a conference with Eckhart one time, Eckhart Tolle, which was beautiful. But I have experienced it in other spiritual circles. And what it's to do with is that if we just want to focus on love and light and we don't want to see our internal fear, our pain, our unworthiness, what we will end up doing is either projecting that internally, so creating our own unwellness. It might be mental health symptoms, or it might be physical health symptoms, or we will unconsciously be projecting that outward on partners, friends, or perhaps organizations or things in the world. So it's completely vital, if we want to truly advance in our spiritual growth, that we face every aspect, no stone unturned, with gentle honesty and absolute compassion. Because until we see that both our darkness and our light is held by divine love with equal compassion, we are loved no matter what, we are not really going to be able to heal, because it's always going to be that some deep sense that we're holding in our unworthiness, and therefore some deep sense that we are not lovable, which is going to make it tricky or nigh on impossible to truly open into the love that is God. And another thing I have noticed in spiritual circles at times is that there can be a tendency to focus on controversy or conspiracy. And it's perfectly okay to look for broad sources of information so that we can all be informed. But the issue, I guess, comes when it's about anger and judgment and blame. And it can be a little too easy sometimes, if we're really focusing on the things that are bad in the world, to get a bit lost in that, a bit lost in all the things that are wrong and blaming that aspect, being angry towards that aspect. And the truth is, when I talked earlier about judgment, that any time we are bringing judgment to anything, be it a situation, another person, a politician, whatever it is, what we are really doing is seeing that we are also worthy of judgment, because this is one joined mind. So if we feel that an organization or an individual is bad and they are worthy of our judgment and anger, then at some deep unconscious level, we are going to be feeling that we are also worthy of judgment, that we can be blamed or held with anger or not accepted. And this is what the Course in Miracles talks about with true forgiveness, and Isaira just lives it with everyone, which is this sense of every being, no matter who they are or what they are doing, is unconditionally loved. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we can't stand up for things in the world that are not wholesome. You know, if we are worried for the planet and we want to go and protest about fossil fuels, of course, that's perfectly okay. But for myself, certainly, I really work on the internal attitude being one of love and non-judgment. No matter who I'm dealing with, whether they've caused pain or hurt to others or to the planet or not. There was a saying I mentioned earlier that anything that is not a loving act is a cry for love, and that still holds true. So every being is only acting from their deep unconscious pain or fear of or feeling of separation from love. So every being is worthy. Every being is worthy of being held as divinely innocent, perfect and whole. Even if we do want to stand up and be firm or protest against various unwholesome actions in the world. And so always when there's a large group like there was at this conference, there's going to be a little bit of that. And I was aware of wanting to hold all of it with divine love, divine compassion, just to stay as present as I possibly could, just to facilitate that opportunity to rest into deeper presence for those that were around me. And, you know, something I want to mention too is that when we don't face our own internal fears or our internal unworthiness and whatever's there internally with compassion, meditation can be hard because inevitably in meditation, our deep emotion and often our challenging emotion will sooner or later come up. And so I have also noticed in spiritual circles that people can really struggle or avoid or not want to meditate if they're not at the same time working on facing themselves with real honesty and compassion. And so again, the opportunity was to just hold the space so that there's a level of deeper comfort for people, because presence is innately loving. And when we're working on holding and resting in presence, those around us will find it more comfortable and easy to rest into presence. There'll be less fear. And by the way, you can all offer that for your family and friends and your workspaces. The more you work on presence and facing your fears and unworthiness with absolute compassion, the more it will pull others in that direction or make it more comfortable for others to find their way to that. So I knew that that was my role at this conference. It wasn't really to be talking to people. It was just to be holding that space of presence so that others were more comfortable to go there. And of course, it was perfect for me. And that's what I mean about service is always very advantageous to the person that's giving it, because I was getting to practice. And when I was feeling resistant, if I was holding others as divinely worthy, that was going to help to bring me there as well. So really, it was perfect for me. And I just have to say that beside the conference, the fact that I was at Uluru, the fact that I was sleeping every night right on Mother Earth on a very thin mattress, so I was very connected. And I got up every morning and I went to Uluru by myself and I sat and meditated in that divine presence. Uluru really does have a very beautiful energy. It just felt like a constant radiation of that gentle love. And I think it was the second morning. It was a beautiful morning. It was overcast. It wasn't too hot. I went there as early as I could possibly go. And I took my shoes off and I didn't need a hat either because it wasn't very sunny. It was overcast. And I circumnavigated the entire rock. And that was just profound. It was a profound opportunity for connection and to feel that energy. And I remember as I was walking around the rock, I did wear my shoes sometimes and sometimes I took them off. It just depended on what the ground was like. And of course, I was having moments of resistance, as I always do, and moments of feeling deeply present and just that gentle love. And I remember having a realization, and it was to do with that as I opened my heart, and it was to do with this, as I give of that to others, it will help me realize how abundant that flow of love is. And I had that realization and I looked up at the rock and I saw the face of a warrior on the rock, and I felt the presence of this spirit warrior with me. And he was affirming just that realization that I'd had, that it is abundant, ever-flowing, always present, this divine, gentle love. So I was immensely grateful for those mornings. And for the first 3 days, I was able to go to the rock by myself and really take it in. And then after that, there was a COVID shutdown and we weren't able to go. But I'd already had this most beautiful experience and connection. And I did want to talk about the help available to all of us. And, you know, I was doing that experience mostly by myself, or at least in this physical experience by myself. And as I mentioned, I was really working on presence. So although I did meet a couple of lovely people, I was fairly much alone at the conference. But where I got the most help from, and I mean, to be honest, it was Mother Earth and Uluru herself. There was such a flow of that loving energy. But also there were some presenters at the conference that I really felt their beautiful presentation. And the two that I really found really valuable was a woman called Christine Day, who's a Pleiadian ambassador, and Lark Ma, who are a loving group of Pleiadians. And I'd never really heard about the Pleiadians before. In fact, my scientific and previously medical mind was struggling with the concept of extraterrestrials, but I really found their energy so beautifully loving and divine and supportive. Both Christine Day and Lark Ma, when they presented, I found it incredibly beautiful. And there was definitely a moment when I was sitting on Mother Earth on the last evening and I was looking up at the conjoined star that I felt the presence of the Pleiadians around me. And it was such a beautiful, sublime, loving presence. In fact, I'm feeling it a bit now when I talk about them. So yeah, just a beautiful, loving, supportive, divine presence. So I want to let you know that we have help available from places that, well, we're not always aware of. And I just felt such gratitude for them. I'm still feeling emotional. Such gratitude for them, because I think that they were providing a lot of support to all of us at the conference and to me as well. And not only that, but that warrior spirit that I mentioned, whom I felt to be very much an ancestor, a caretaker of Uluru, and that was a very loving, supportive experience. And this help, you know, it's available to all of us. And it was because I had, I guess, stepped towards vulnerability and gone to that place and had really worked on presence that I was able to feel the support of nature, of Mother Earth, of Uluru herself, of the ancestor spirit beings and of the Pleiadians. But these beings really are available to all of us. All of you are supported by angels, by beings, spirit beings already resting in divine love, by all of our ancestors already resting in divine love, by divine love itself. It really is all one essence. So I'll finish by letting you know that the conference was beautiful and we held ceremony on that night of December the 21st. And it was a beautiful ceremony, and it was about opening into awareness and feeling the loving heart of Uluru within all of us. It really was a privilege to have that opportunity. And you know, I made it home safely, and there were multiple COVID shutdowns when I got home, and the police did in fact contact me thinking I had been in Melbourne at a certain time and were going to make me stay home, but it turned out that I was safe by 2 days, so I was able to go down south with my parents-in-law, so everything turned out perfectly. And Uluru, you know, Uluru really is a special place, and I'm very grateful to our First Nations people who are teaching all of us about the spirituality of this land, of Mother Earth, and of holding her with such sacredness and appreciation. We can learn so much from our First Nations people around deep spiritual connection and respect and caretaking of Mother Earth. So this may be the final episode of Building Worthiness. I wanted it to be a bit of an introduction to an awakening process and sharing some of my story. I do have another podcast, which is called Spiritual Psychotherapy, and that's more an ongoing podcast. So I'd love you to listen to that. That's Spiritual Psychotherapy. I may end up adding more on the building worthiness front, but I'll see as time goes on. So I think that's enough for today. Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure to be here with you as always. Please subscribe and share this podcast to anyone you think may be interested. And check me out on my website, livingawarenesswa.com, and my Facebook and Instagram pages, Living Awareness WA. And I also highly recommend Isaira, and her website is isaira.com. Much love to you all.